Welcome to the Grinders Table, the podcast where we sit with C-suite executives and founders who are taking their industry by storm to figure out how you can build an exceptional career and business. Together, we'll try to uncover how they have both defined the odds and what you can learn from their experience. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Grinders Table podcast. And I'm actually excited to have this person that we have today. I remember when I first met him and we sat down to have a conversation, I was like, I definitely have to have you on the podcast. So today we have Seyi Abolaji. And in my usual fashion, I'll let him introduce himself. So Seyi, over to you. Who is Seyi exactly?
Seyi is an extremely curious guy that has no problems working hard and rolling up his sleeves. And just wants to get big things done in the world before his time is up.
But that's not enough. But again, I like to dig into how Seyi became Seyi. So 10 years ago, if you look back, would you have thought that your present version of you would be who you are right now?
Yeah, man. Like I just turned 40. So I think since maybe like 20, 25 years ago, I think I'm pretty much the type of person that I thought I wanted to be, not where I wanted to be, but the type of person. We moved to the States when I was really, really young. I think it was one or two. Grew up in Southern Illinois, a little Hickville town in Illinois, moved to Colorado, went to school out in California at Stanford, played professional football for a couple of years, tried to get on in Brazil, Germany, Turkey. And when I realized I wasn't good enough to make that leap, I just looked like I had to do something else. You know, football was the means to an end for me. And it was like right before I graduated, one of my professors, Professor Clough, one of my mentors at school, essentially challenged the whole class and just said how it's like, you know, you Stanford students, you go to one of the best schools in the world and you go out and you just settle with life. You guys aren't the ones that go to accomplish big things. And it's just like he said, you know, there's a decision you all need to make before you graduate so you don't look back in 30 years and regret anything. Like, do you want to lead a life of comfort or do you want to leave a life of impact? And you have to be very clear and intentional about that decision before you leave. And I just never believed in a life of comfort. I've always wanted to do big things. I always thought I was gifted. I knew that I had special talents and not in a very arrogant way, but, you know, I always felt like I was going to do big things. And I just, my mother, till tomorrow, she's just like, Seyi, take it easy. Take it easy, man. Relax. And she says that since I was like 5 years old, she's been telling me to like, take it easy. You know, so it's like, that's just the type of person I've been. Moved to Nigeria, got my Nigerian business school baptism of learning what Nigeria really is. Growing up in the States, you know, every time that we want to drink any like fizzy drink or we want to go to McDonald's or something like that, my parents always be like, you're made in Nigeria. You're made in Nigeria. Like making us feel like we were so spoiled and so lazy. So I came back and it was like the Nigeria I met was so different from what my parents had spoken about and prepared us for. Yeah. So, I called that my Nigerian business school, came back, saved up all my money. I came back just to visit. I came back to visit. It was a 2 week visit before I got a job. When I decided I was going to start playing football, I got a job at a firm in Chicago in Illinois called McMaster Carr. I came back home, in quotes, to visit, and I figured, yeah, just go home, touch base, and go, you know, go and start my next phase of life. And when I got here, man, I just saw things, and it was like, I just felt it. It was like, this place is bad enough to keep a lot of good people away, but if you have a high enough pain threshold and you're ready to kind of get a little rugged with it, there's so many opportunities. So it's like, I just felt like, man, I could go get into the comfort zone in the U.S., or come out here and try to like really make impact, really try to make something happen. So I bought a one-way ticket back to Nigeria. Just exactly 1 year later, I said, I got to be back here, figure out what I'm going to do. Yeah, I went back to the States, worked for a year, saved up all the money I could, and then was right back in Nigeria a year later. 15 years later, I'm still here in Nigeria, failed at a couple businesses, started several, failed at a couple, and built up a few leaders within the company. Yeah, here we are right now, man. So it's been a wild ride.
We will talk about your baptism, the Nigerian baptism soon. But I'd like us to unpack what you said around not feeling good enough, right? You find that a lot of leaders, a lot of founders, a lot of people find themselves in situations where they feel like, I could do more, or I don't have enough skills to be where I am, or I'm not the best at, I'm not as good as I expect myself to be. How did you manage that feeling?
Look, man, I'm focused on being less stupid every day. And I say that and not just be crude with it or crass, but it really is like, I feel like I've been tremendously blessed with a certain personality type and trait. And I have a high level of comfort with like uncertainty. I'm kind of, by the time things are going well and everything's like smooth rolling, it makes me uncomfortable. But like in the midst of like, let's figure it out, let's sort it out. That's where I'm able to zone in. I'm able to like zero in. That's when I get really, really calm, when things are getting a little bit too hectic. So it's like, I'm saying that, like just knowing that this is like who I am. This is the type of person I am. And having said that, it's like, but I'm not good at anything. I'm not like particularly like, I hate losing. I like building. I like getting better. I like learning and I hate losing, but I'm not really good at anything in particular. Right. So it's like, I love mathematics. I love numbers, but I'm not the sharpest guy. Like if you start doing complex mathematics, like I'm not even interested. I get along with people. I get people. Like I've read a lot of books. I think that's maybe what I'm good at. Like I read and I assimilate information, but so I've read a lot of books and like through, you know, football sports, I've learned how to get more out of people, get more out of myself, get more out of people. And some people is like tough love. Some people is soft love. Some people is like, you got to kind of peel wounds for them to like really move and accomplish more than what they're currently doing. So I get that. I get people like that. So with that, having said that, it's like, I get along with people, but I really am comfortable being, I'm more comfortable being alone. So it's like, I'm not really good at sales. I could do it, but it's really draining. So I'm not like the best salesperson. I'm very like meticulous. I like things a certain way, but like by the time I build a system, if it's not like repeating and repeating to get it like exactly perfect, like I don't have the patience. I don't have like, I'm 0 to 1 or maybe 0 to 99. I'm not the 99 to 100 type of guy. Yeah. So I'm not particularly good at anything. So like my goal every day is I just be less stupid every day, which like, some people need to be smart. Like I don't need to be smart. I just need to be less stupid. Right? Some people need to be cool. I know I'm not really cool. I'm more like, but I need to get things done. So if I have to be the cool guy for a minute to get things done, then I could do that. But I'm not like tied up in being cool or being liked or like having friends, like that type of stuff. It's like, I know that. Actually, as I'm speaking about it, what I'm good at is I know myself. I'm very comfortable with myself. I know myself and very, very comfortable with myself. And I don't get caught up in like how and what people think about me. So that allows me to like ask stupid questions and not mind looking stupid and not mind like sounding smart. Cause I'm just really focused on learning and getting better. And so like, I know I'm not good enough. Like, and I hope I'm never good enough. Right. And not in like a derogatory way. I don't feel bad about it. Just feel like there's always more to do.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. Cause I remember reading something. Was it yesterday that said you don't need to be smarter than others? You just need to outperform them. And basically outperforming people is about, you know, showing up every day and working consistently on that thing. And that kind of brings everything together. Let's go into the baptism of fire in your business journey. I mean, you told me an interesting story.
But before we jump into that, but what you just said, we don't need to be better than others, we just need to outperform them or something like that.
Yeah, you don't need to be smarter than others. You just need to outperform them.
So I would flip that and be like you don't need to be smarter than others. You just need to play your own game, right? Because it's like outperform somebody who's smarter than you is going to be hard, right? So it's just like find the game within the game that you can win at. Like, and it has to be a meaningful game, right? That adds value. But so it's like with one of the companies that we started called Wilson's Juice Company's a lemonade brand here in Nigeria. Like our whole game was like lemonade because Coke and other big brands were not doing lemonade. And like, you're not going to out Coca-Cola. Many companies are trying to, many brands are trying to. You're not going to out, you know, a big fizzy brand. So it's like, all right, like, but we want to be in this space. What game can we play that we can win at? Right. So it's like, it's still really a lot about like focusing on yourself. Like you gotta look outside and see what would be valuable to other people. But playing games that you can win because you're like specially positioned or you know something or you're willing to do something that other people aren't willing to do. Like that still doesn't mean you're better than them, right? It's just playing a different game. Because once you start worrying about being better than somebody, it's like you're playing their game. You're just never going to be as good as, I'm never going to be as smart as like 99% of the people in the world. And if I'm trying to be better than somebody who's smarter than me, like playing, that's what like soccer does or football does or sports in general. Dude, I was like the national team when I was younger. I thought I was one of the best players in the world. And I was ready to work as hard or harder than anybody. I was training long hours. Then I went to Brazil and I saw kids. I was 18, 19 at the time. I saw kids that were like 9, 10, maybe 12. They were just better than me. They were I was bigger than them and I hated losing. So I was competing, but they were clearly better than me. And as I was saw myself working hard, they were better than me and they were playing. So that was like a real eye opener at that age for me that I was like, yo, there's some things that that are fun to some people. They're great at it and it's fun. It's not work. Whereas I was working to be good. And these kids were training just as hard, putting in just the same amount of time, if not more. And they were just clearly heads and shoulders better than me. And they were like 10, 12 years old. So it's like, that's when I really started on, you got to find your lane. Like, where are you going to be exceptional? And play that game. Because if you're trying to outwork or outcompete somebody who's just blessed, and then they're still ready to work and compete, it's a losing game.
Yeah. Very, very interesting perspective. You see why you're on this podcast. You consistently, you know, mention the word game. And oftentimes, you know, people would say that the game is rigged in favor of a certain small cluster of people. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, game and life as a game, principles then come up, right? What are you willing to do to get ahead? What are your own guiding principles?
Wow. You just dove in the deep end, bro. Didn't even ease into it. Guiding principles. No, I could do that. I think there'll be five. And it's really, it's like five, right? So the first one is like, create better, right? So create better. And those two words mean a lot to me. Like create, like for me, is like just exercising the courage to lead and to be different. That's all it needs to be created for me. Like it doesn't mean like special. You don't have to be Einstein to be creative. It takes courage to stand out. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to take the lead, right? So create better is one, I'll say, guiding principle. So exercise the courage to lead and be different. And then better, like, it's not best. Like, it's just a process. So it's about being less stupid or less slow or less whatever than I was yesterday. Like, I'm competing with myself and myself only. And every day, I got to be better than I was yesterday at something specific, right? So the first principle would be like, create better. Second would be leadership, right? It's really, really important for me. Like, you know, like I think everybody could be like operate with leadership principles. And the, like leadership principles for me is, I even have an acronym for it called SCITS, right? So sacrifice, creativity, integrity, and teamwork. Right. So sacrifice is like just like commitment to excellence, especially when it's not convenient, commitment to excellence, not perfection, but like, if I'm going to do it, man, it got to be better than how I met it. Anything I'm touching has to be better than how I met it. And if that means I got to spend extra time, extra money, extra whatever, then that's what's going to happen. Like it's not going to leave my hands and be in the same condition or worse than when I touch something. Whether that's a person or a company or somebody has me edit a paper or something like that. Like I say no often because if I do something, I'm going to really try to do it at an excellent level. So sacrifice, creativity. I already said it, right? Exercise the courage to lead and to be different. The cocoa of the matter, I think that's what's even let me still be in Nigeria and what's allowed us to grow. Like we started with $10, 2009 to where we are today is integrity. Right. Like just be honest and do what you say you're going to do and just not saying yes to make somebody feel good when you mean no, like being willing to say no and let somebody feel bad. But they know your no through your no if I said yes in mistake and I really didn't want to do something, then I kind of suck it up and do it, because it's like, well, that'll teach me to say no next time. And then, like, when I'm going to fail at something, like, it's not campaign action after the election. Like, I'm going to be the first one to let you know I'm not going to be able to do something that I said I was going to do, like, before I fail. It's not just going to be giving your explanations or excuses afterwards. Right. So integrity is the cocoa of the matter. And then teamwork. And my take on teamwork is not like, you know, we're a family. Like, we're not a family. We're a team. And what a team means to me is, like, there's a common goal, a common objective, and we're trying to get the best people we can on the team and hold each person accountable to doing their best and doing their part and playing their role to help us win. Not to help us have fun, not to help us play the game, but to help us win. So for me, teamwork is getting the best people you can around you and then holding everybody accountable to doing their part to help us win. So now, like on the football pitch, if your teammate gets injured, like everybody will stop to take a few minutes getting refreshments and like getting the person up. But if the person's injured and they can't play, like to get them off the field and the game continues. Yesterday's superstar, if they want to be living off of yesterday's glory, will find themselves on the bench or off the team really, really quick. Right. So it's like being very, very clear that it's like, you know, we're teammates. Like, my brother, no matter what my brother does, your sister does, they're always going to be my brother, always going to be my sister. Like, you can't even mess around and disown anybody in your family. Like, family is family. But team is very, very different. Like, team could be closer than family, but it's towards a clear goal and an objective, right? And everybody has to pull their own weight. So I said five because it's like, you know, create better, and then leadership. But within leadership are those four principles, right? Sacrifice, creativity, integrity, and teamwork. That is around that. Like, I'm going to make sure that I'm a great teammate. Like, on the football pitch, like, people hated playing against me and loved me on their team. I was never the best person on any team. But I was like often the captain of the teams because it was like they hated me during practice and loved me during the games because I'm holding everybody accountable, starting with myself, right? So it's like even like building teams here in Nigeria, it's like I found that many people were like, no, it's a family. I'm like, no, we're not a family. Stop that. We're not a family. We're a team.
Wow. So you've all been listening to Seyi Abolaji and you've heard all the amazing things that he has to share. And there's so much more to come. So if you think that somebody else has to hear this, your friend, your brother, whoever it is, share it with them. So Seyi, what is one superpower you'd like to have?
One superpower that I would like to have?
Mm-hmm.
Patience. I think it'd be patience, man. I feel like being so like focused and goal-oriented, like pushes me, drives me. I don't want to say forces me because it's a decision I make, right? But pushes me to move at a certain pace and think at a certain pace and drive at a certain pace that like creates big gaps in my life. And like when something is not like in route with my plan, someone, something, an activity, something somebody wants me to learn or do is not in line with like my purpose or my goal per time, it's just like I don't have the patience for it. I don't dedicate any time, any attention to it. And it helps a lot. But I'm sure I've missed a lot because I don't have as much patience as maybe I should.
Interestingly, I think that we don't give ourselves as much credit as we should. And I think that you're more patient than you think you are. For you to have built what you've built, you must have had some patience or you would have packed your load up and disappeared from Nigeria.
Right. No, but my goal coming to Nigeria wasn't a 2-year plan or 5-year plan, right? Like I came in when I was 25. I had a goal for 30. I had a goal for 35, 40, 45, 50. Right. So I've had personal goals and financial goals. I've missed all my financial goals. Right. And now it's like, because the end goal, because I'm so clear on the end goal, right? I'm not here because I'm patient. Like I'm still here because it's like, either I'm going to fail miserably towards that financial goal, only the financial goal. I've accomplished many, many other goals, but finances specifically, either I'm going to fail miserably, right? By the time I'm 50, or I'm going to fail miserably by the time I'm 50, but still I'm going to win by the time I'm probably 55, 60, or I'm going to succeed because I stayed on this path that's like, I'm swinging for the fences. I'm not I'm not playing the conservative game. The conservative game would have been to stay in the U.S., do McMaster Card for 3-4 years, go to business school, leverage that to get into PE or something like this. And it would have been a lot more financially rewarding up until this point. But where I'm trying to get to, I don't think it would have, like that door, I would have closed that door, right? So being here is less about patience, man. It's more about just being very clear on what I'm trying to accomplish and putting myself in a position to do that. The day that that changes, like if Nigeria like says, no, you're not going to accomplish that goal here, I'm out. So that's like, and that's part of like, man, I probably should not be thinking like that. So I'm not fickle by any means, but I'm not like, and yeah. On the other end is, man, I probably should have learned how to play an instrument. I probably should have more hobbies. And it's like, man, the patience to get good at that, man, because I don't see it like tied to my purpose and my goals. I don't have that. So maybe patience is the wrong word, but that's what I'm talking about. I don't have that. But I'm not fickle by it.
Yeah. When we met, we discussed about power, money, fame, pleasure framework, right? And I like you to share what you told me on that day. So if you rank power, money, fame, and pleasure, I'd like you to rank it. Which of them is most important to you and which is the least important to you and why?
Power, most important. Fame, least important. Fame, least important. Yeah, like I think I have a high level of disregard for what others think about me. And I only care, like, I don't know how and when and why it happened, but like, what others think, you know, about me just means like, I don't want people to feel bad and I would never try to intentionally make somebody feel bad. But if it's about like so even in our company, right? One of our operating principles is like, you know, if you must choose between being honest and being nice, choose honesty, right? Like people's feelings are secondary to your truth or my truth. Right. So I feel like fame is just really not, I know it's a currency. No, it could lead to power, but it's just not a game that was ever interesting. And I would have no problems with nobody knowing me and me doing big, big things in the background.
Just speaking on that, do you think that the ability to block out how people feel about you is a trait that successful people have? Because I don't necessarily mean being brash and being loud and, you know, being obnoxious, but you find out when you look across really successful people, they just don't care about what people say.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to like make sure that there's no bravado in this. I think it's more about prioritizing goals and objectives, right? That I'm in Nigeria for a specific purpose. If I realize that can't be accomplished, like, I'm not tied to Nigeria. I'm not tied to anything, like anybody, anything here is the goal that's keeping me here. Likewise, if there's anybody that's like, again, the goal is not to be a jerk. The goal is not to make anybody feel bad. But like in our company, man, it's like, I give feedback. Like I have one-on-one sessions with the people that I think could really move the needle and like people could smile and cry because they're like, wow, I never knew I was this good. You're telling me things people never told me. And then people could also be like, on the flip side, wow, like you really believe this and you have these examples for why I'm not as good as I thought I was. And it's just like, I owe you honesty. That's all I owe you. Right. So it's because it's like, I'm focused on the objective, not on the people per se. And this is why, like my partner, me and my partner, we were like a great fit because there's things I'd be proposing and things I said, no, let's do this. And it'd be like, yo, like this person's been here for like 5 years, man. Like you shouldn't do that. You got to think about not what other people are going to think about you, but the implications of this on these other people's performance, which will not take us away from our objective. Like he had to put it in that frame for me to be like, oh, okay. But if you just kept it like, man, it wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be proper. That just doesn't register as a reason to not or a reason to do something that's not in line with our objective. So is that a trait common with many people? or successful people. I don't think I'm like successful in quotes yet, right? Yet, but I, so going back to, I know I will. So I guess I would be a testament to that if I get, I eventually have the proofs. But yeah, I think it's less about not caring what people think, period, is caring more about the goals and objectives, much, much more about that than how people feel or people think. And yeah, I think I have that in spades, which is, it's not good though. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just going back to like where we started. I think my superpower is like, I'm in touch with myself. I feel like I have a very high level of understanding and comfort about myself, like the good and the bad.
Hmm. So talking about framing, right, and also understanding yourself and understanding what you would do, what you won't do, what motivates you, where you're going, right? We all know that life and entrepreneurship especially is a very lonely journey because there are times that it doesn't just make sense, right? Everything happening is, it's everything's bonkers. How have you created a system that helps realign you to your goals? Because this is very, very important. You find that a lot of people get stuck in that rut where it's not working. I give up, or it's not working. I'm just going to be okay with it not working, right? And then you find that others also figure out a way to come out of it, but then they have battle scars and they're never the same. But for, again, this question is quite individualistic, right? For you, how do you get yourself back into the right frame of mind?
Look, man, I'll talk about some specific practices I do every day, but why I do those practices is, so I guess you get a little personal. Let me go there. I'll take it a different way. It's a decision, right? So I know that like being in Nigeria is a decision. It's a luxury decision. I don't have to be here. So I like constantly remind myself that. So with that, it's like, hey, if I'm complaining, I need to leave. Like there's no point in complaining because there's nothing good that comes out of complaining. There's nothing good that comes out of feeling sorry for yourself. Like nobody cares. It sounds really, really negative, but that's like just being honest, like that brutally honest with myself. Like nobody cares if you're feeling good or feeling bad. If you're feeling good and you think everybody knows you, nobody really knows you. If you're feeling bad and think somebody owes you something or you've been cheated or this or that, like everybody's life is moving on. Everybody's dealing with it. So it's a decision. You're here because you want to be here. You're here because you think there's a goal here and you're choosing to stick to this. So it's like, that doesn't allow me to murmur or like kind of get, like have self-pity or anything like that. Now, to support that, the things I do every day, I try to do every day. If I miss one day, 2 days a month, they won't be consecutive. And if they're consecutive, then it's like by the third day, no matter what's going on, I have to like break the cycle. Because it's like positive cycles that build on themselves, negative cycles build on themselves. So when I get up really, really early every day, my ideal time is between 3:30, 4 o'clock. So before 7:38, like I'm already kind of done with my day. But as soon as I get up, I have 20 minutes of I'm stretching, or I'm doing some push-ups, I'm doing some sit-ups. I hate like going to a gym or anything like that. So everything I do has to be able to be done in like a living room space. So I do something to just kind of get my blood flowing. And especially the days that I don't feel like it, like I've never regretted doing it. So the stretching, push-ups, sit-ups, I have like different 3-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute workout videos. I do something like that. So 20 minutes of that. Then I have 3 to 5 minutes just silence. I'm just breathing. Then I spend about 5 minutes between reading. I read the Bible. I've read 3, 4, 5 different religious texts, but what does it for me is the Bible. And right now I'm in Proverbs. So what I do is like I set a 15-minute timer, and the days that I either get up late or something's happening, I got to get through it, then I set a 5-minute timer. So it's not about the time. It's just like that routine, something physical, something breathing, and then time in the Word. Right. So I have a little notepad. I have a pen and I read, so right now I'm in Proverbs. So I try to read one chapter. If I can't read a chapter, I read a session of a verse or a certain section, and I read it and I get quiet for 1 or 2 minutes. And then I write like whatever's in my mind. So it's like, oh, this is what it means to me. And then I do a breathing exercise. So like deep breaths or whatever. I have literally just like different videos. Those breathing exercises are 2 to 3 minutes, just breathing. And then from there, shower, and I get going with my day. I rarely eat breakfast. I don't like eating breakfast. For me, it's just I haven't been eating breakfast. So anytime I do, one, I'm hungrier throughout the day. And then second is like I'm either going to go to the bathroom, I'm going to do something. It just kind of breaks my flow. So from working out, shower, do all that. So now it's like I've already won for the day. I've already done something physical. I've already done something spiritual and mental. I've already won. Shower, get to the office. If I'm going to the office, I get to the office, get to the office by like 6. If I'm not going to the office, I'm working from home. And then like if we were doing a video, if you saw me, like I have like quarter pieces of paper that I do this like, you know, 4-square quadrant, right? Urgent and important that I do it. Urgent, I could get somebody else to do it. Not urgent, but it's important that I do it. And then like for fun stuff to do. And I have that filled out. I update this almost daily when I'm crossing things out, reprioritizing. So I go through that, pick one or two in the urgent and I got to do. And like, I don't check my phone. I don't do anything. Like any emergencies have to be inbound. They have to find a way to reach me because as soon as I touch my phone, I get distracted. So I try to pump through one or two of those. And like literally I could get one done or get a good chunk of it done before anybody comes to the office by 7:38. And it's like, man, I've already won. Like anything else could happen today, I've already won. And like going through that and knowing that I could do that and like choosing to do that, like it's hard to kind of get, like to stay in the funk. There's times like I find out I was depressed afterwards. It's like, oh wow, I feel much better. Oh wow, like I wasn't crying because I was frustrated. I was crying because I was depressed and I was just be speaking and just be crying and not knowing that I was depressed. And it was like, but like because I do all that stuff, like I'd find out something was wrong later. And it's still like me that found it out about myself later. So I don't know if that's like the type of answer you were looking for, but that's like, that's what I do.
I wasn't looking for some type of answer. I was looking for your answer and thank you for sharing. You've all been listening to Shayi. Shayi is the founder of Lemonade. Shayi, I'd like us to commit to recording another episode, be it physical or virtually, to talk about the Lemonade story because there's so much to unpack there, but we can't do that on this episode.
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for speaking with us. But in rounding up, if you could advise anyone, you know, just one life advice in one word, what word would that be?
One life advice.
In one word.
One word. One word?
Yeah.
Focus. Focus.
Awesome. Yeah. So focus is our word for the day. Thank you so much, Shayi.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's all on today's episode of The Grinders Table, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MonsieurUM. That's at Monsieur for Mr. in French, UM. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.